Many of you have memorized, actually, two separate verses, John 3:16 and John 3:17. So, lest familiarity profane things sacred, let's pray again. Lord, help us to dive into your word afresh, and to come up with truth that is the beauty of your spirit at work right now in hearts and lives for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to begin this morning by simply reminding you that you are more loved than you could possibly know. But I might be getting ahead of myself and sounding too much like a preacher in saying that, so I'm going to start with a couple of true confessions. The first is that I left the sermon at home this morning, and I'm very thankful for my wife, who at a quarter till headed home and got it for me. I think I could have winged it otherwise, but I'm grateful for my wife, and that leads me to the second confession that I would like to make. It's actually an old family story about when I was a senior in college. And I made a bad mistake. Carrie and I had been together for not quite a year, and I was going through one of those, well, maybe we should date other people adjustments, you know, that relationships kind of go through when they start to get a little more serious. And it was my college graduation ceremony in Santa Barbara, and afterwards my father invited all of us to go out for dinner. And he asked me if Carrie was going, and here it comes. Here's the mistake. I said that she wasn't, and she was standing right there. And it was one of those things. I know. But the story doesn't end there. We went out to a nice restaurant in Santa Barbara that evening. And I got the worst case of food poisoning of my life. The worst one I've ever had, I mean, before or since, I've never had it like that. The next day, I was sick as a dog. And you know what Carrie did? She went on a picnic with another guy. Yeah, touche, what if you say. But, you know, I mean, you would think that both of those things, you know, the picnic with another guy, the food poisoning, you know, you might think that would be bad enough, but no. You know, this is the gift that keeps on giving. You have to understand, my dad loved Carrie very much. And even though my dad sort of had that you know, he was sort of a Lou Grant type character. He was actually very tender on the inside. And it seemed like every time my father would visit us, he'd bring the story up again. Oh, I will never forget the look on Carrie's face that day. And it just, you know, it was one of those things where I shrunk behind the pulpit a moment ago, you know, where you just kind of feel increasingly smaller. And I mention all of this to make a point. And the point is, a wiser man would have invited her to dinner that evening because he would have known that he was so loved. Now, my father could see it. I couldn't see it at the time. Can I use the excuse that love is blind? No, I don't think so. But I tell you this because it's important. Because it's really important in the regard that it applies to you. It is so important for you to know that you are so loved. Because if you don't see it, not only will you miss the picnic, but you'll be in for a world of hurt. This is what God's word says. For God so... Let's read this together, shall we? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I love those words. Especially those two words, so loved. So loved. You know, some ask sometimes, how can you say that God is loving when we live in a world with so much suffering and pain? And it's better not to give an easy answer to that question. Isn't it? I mean, it's better not to answer that one too quickly when something bad happens to someone. But God's word tells us that suffering and pain and death entered the world through our sin, and that it's a broken place. Still, when trying to speak to someone who's going through a tragedy, we all know how inadequate our words can be, don't we? But that's where the beauty of love comes in. And the love that God, Scripture says, has poured into us through His Holy Spirit. God entered the world and knows what it's like to walk the road of suffering. God knows what it's like to hang on a cross and even ask the question, why? That's how loved you and I are. I used to hear preachers say, well, if you were the only person in the world, then he would have done that for you. And I used to kind of have trouble with that hypothetically and think, well, how could that work? But it's true, because God is capable of that much love. I mean, we worship someone who is so incredible in all of his attributes that we'll spend all of eternity worshiping him, and we'll never come to an end of them. There'll be something new that we savor in the beauty of who he is. And this is one of the reasons why it's so important to just spend time in his presence now, right? It's all about relationship. What does Jesus say? The most frightening words in the Bible, away from me, I never knew you, right? But Scripture tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him. Man, I love that word too, don't you? Whoever. Whoever. As we're thinking about that, as we're thinking about being really loved, it's important that we stop there for a moment. Because all of us know what it's like to love someone and maybe not have that love returned. Or to have people say unkind things about us that we take in such a way that we sort of look at them as the measure of our own character or our own selves at times, don't we? well, if this person says this about me, then I must be that way. We've all been in that place, haven't we? One of the great things about our mental health first aid class that we were taking yesterday was the chance to be able to look at ways of meeting people in crisis non-judgmentally. And this is something that is so important for us in the church. Pam made a great point as we were talking about, encountering people in crisis, and we were looking at things to say and things not to say, and Pam said, well, one of the things that we left out yesterday was, can we pray? You know, simply offering to pray with or for someone in a difficult moment can do such good for them. But you know, think about it. If you understand that God loves you, that God really loves you, I mean, that desire of your heart to be truly, deeply loved, that is met in Him without condemnation. Oh, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. That's the kind of love that is offered to you and me through Jesus. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. You know, sometimes when preachers talk about love, people kind of get nervous from another standpoint, and they say, well, you know, if you're talking so much about love, doesn't that mean you're going to be going soft on sin? Well, I mean, sometimes that happens, right? But the truth of the matter is, no, not if you really understand the true nature of love. You see, the true nature of love is a relationship, right? And if you're living in that relationship with God, then He's going to increasingly be a part of your heart as you go through the day, right? Because His Spirit dwells in you. And that Spirit is going to help you in that relationship. And there are going to be times where you're going to understand that, you know what, I'm not going to do this because I know if I go down this road, that's going to harm that relationship. And I don't want to harm that relationship. I don't want to do anything that could cause distance in that relationship. I love what Phillips Brooks said about this. I know I probably quote it a couple of times a year, but Phillips Brooks, the writer of O Little Town of Bethlehem, where he mentions that in that beautiful verse, you know, how silently the wondrous gift is given, so God imparts to human hearts the blessings of His heaven. No ear may hear His coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive Him still, the dear Christ enters in. And later in his life, he's asked about his relationship with Christ. And he writes, I cannot tell you how real this grows to me. And the older I am, the more increasingly personal it becomes. He is here. He knows me, and I know Him. And one wonders with delight what it will become, what it will grow to as the years go on. So this is love that's not about condemnation. It's about liberation. It's liberation to be a child of God, truly, deeply loved. In our culture, we talk a lot about, you know, reaching our potential. Remember the Army slogan, be all that you can be. But imagine the one who made you, who has for you an eternal perspective in mind. And He desires to call us into that and to make us what we will be as His children. Oh, man. You know, a couple of Sundays ago, I was riding home from church when I saw a man who attends pretty faithfully coming the other way. It was Sunday morning, and he's coming the other way on Guest Road, sitting there at the stoplight. And our eyes met, and he obviously hadn't been to church that morning, and he pretended to kind of slump down in his truck and hide from me. And as I passed him, I rolled down the window and yelled, "You are so busted." And then I thought about it, and I thought, you know, I hope he knows I was kidding. Hey, we need to be in worship together. We need to seek God's face together. I don't know about you, but I know I'm not strong enough to be out there on my own. We need to be where the Spirit of God is moving afresh in His people to inspire us. Sometimes, hey, it's not a few hundred words from the preacher, it's just a word from the person sitting beside you that makes all of the difference in your week. Because again, it is love, not legalism. Love that is at work among us. Jesus giving Himself on the cross for us is the only thing that can save us. He saves us from ourselves. He saves us from this world. He saves us in so many ways. Martin Luther said, "Either sin is with you, lying on your shoulders, or it is lying on Christ, the Lamb of God. Now, if it is lying on your back," in other words, if you're trying to save yourself, you are lost. "But if it is resting on Christ, you are free, and you will be saved." Why? Because you are so loved. Let's read the words again, shall we? "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." Are you that whoever? Are you that whoever? Because, oh, you are so loved. And you can be. May we pray. Lord, thank You for Your perfect love. Thank You that You meet us right where we are and You don't leave us there. You call us to follow You. This morning, would you decide to follow Him if you never have before? Would you respond to His love? Because in Him you will find, well, Augustine put it this way, "Our hearts are restless until they find rest in You." And that word begins, that sentence begins with, "You made us for Yourself," and our hearts are restless until they find rest in You. Would you come to His peace this morning? Would you invite His love through inviting His Spirit into your heart to fill you, to cleanse you of your sin, to make you a new creation, not something different, something weird. But the one you were intended to be all along. Different that way, yes. Because you are free. Would you invite him? Would you simply say, yes, Lord, yes. I receive you. Help me to live loving you, turning my back on sin, turning to you, and sharing your love in what I do and say. Lord, thank you that I am so loved. Tell him that, will you? In Jesus' name.